to the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And let's read beginning with verse 25. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. How many times have you quoted that scripture and said the sparrows heavenly Father feeds them? How many times have you read it in abstract, had it in your mind it was the sparrows heavenly Father? Well, the sparrows don't have a heavenly Father. It's your heavenly Father, my heavenly Father, who feeds the sparrows. He's their creature. I mean, their creator, pardon me, just like he's your creator and my creator, created us in our mother's wombs. And he created them, but he's not their heavenly Father. Jesus said, your heavenly Father feedeth the sparrows. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe thee, grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles or the heathen seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our heavenly Father, we want to give thee thanks and give thee praise once again for this thy precious word. Dear Lord, we ask that thou wilt bless it to our hearts as we look into it, and that thou wilt speak to those of us who have claimed the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, who have received him as Savior. We are thy children. Lord, wilt thou, as our brother has prayed, O God, speak to our hearts, beginning with the one in the pulpit, that thou mayest, Lord, that thou mayest obtain from us the faith and the obedience that thou dost deserve. In Jesus' name we ask it and for his sake. Amen. Now I'm sure that you will be surprised at the subject that we have for this morning. The subject is the mind with no vacancy. The mind with no vacancy. The year was 1967. Mom and I had left North Carolina and we were headed for California, preaching on the way over at different places. Sometimes between preaching appointments, the distance was so great that we had to stop in a motel instead of being entertained by some of the Christians along the way. And on this particular day that I'm thinking about now, when evening began to draw nigh, we began to look for a motel. And all we saw were signs saying, no vacancy, no vacancy. We drove and drove and drove, I think until about 10 o'clock that night. And you talk about two tired human beings, even though I was a few years younger then than I am now. We were very, very tired indeed. And finally we saw a motel that did not have a no vacancy sign in front of it, and I pulled up without losing any time. I went into the lobby, there was a man at the desk, and the lady hotel or motel clerk said to him, sir, we have just one room, and told him how much it would be. I don't think I heard the amount. And he said, well, no thank you, and turned away. I stepped up behind him and said, I'll take it. Beloved, if I'd have had to leave the title to the car, we'd have taken that room that night. We were that tired. And so we got the room. Now you say, Tommy, why have you told us that story? Well, I'm going to answer your question, beloved, with a question. I'm going to answer your question with a question. Why is it that we could not get into one of those other motels until we got to this particular one? For the simple reason that there were no vacancies. For the simple reason that other guests occupied all the rooms of these motels that we would like to have stopped at along the way. The motels were filled. The rooms were filled. There were absolutely no vacancies. Now, friends, oftentimes, it's that way with you and me. So far as God is concerned, He wants to come into our minds and place His thoughts there. He wants to come into our hearts and remind us of His love for us. He wants to come into our being and fill us with Himself. But He can find no vacancy for the simple reason that our minds are filled with so many other thoughts. There is so much that is filling our lives and so much love, perhaps for other members of the family or perhaps for something else or somebody else, that God cannot find any vacancy and He can't get in. Now, I suggest to you that God would occupy our minds to the fullest extent, but He finds no vacancy and no way to get in. Our minds are filled perhaps with thoughts of this life. After all, the thoughts of making a living. Our minds are filled with succeeding in our business or succeeding at our work. Maybe our minds are filled with thoughts of having pleasure. I've known lots of people that just work for quitting time to come so that they could go to whatever pleasure was planned for that night. I've known people who have worked for Friday afternoon to come so that they could head for the pleasure that they had planned for the weekend. Pleasure, the thing that occupied them most of all. Maybe some of us are so concerned about our health that God can't find space to get into this little cranium of ours to put in a few of His thoughts and to have us think about some of the things that He would have us think about. Now, don't say, Tommy, it's easy for you to say that because you're not sick. Well, I've got a half a dozen infirmities that I could tell you about right now that are serious. But, beloved, I don't even bother to think about them. So far as salvation is concerned, so far as my soul is concerned, I want you to know my bags are packed and I'm ready to go home anytime the Lord calls me. Now, so far as the judgment seat of Christ is concerned, sometimes, Brother Frank, I have a bit of fear and trembling about the judgment seat of Christ because there I'll answer for my work. And sometimes I'm afraid I'm going to find a great big pile of wood, hay, and stubble instead of some gold and jewels and gold, precious stones. Can't get the three in line right now. But at any rate, beloved, so far as salvation is concerned, so far as eternity is concerned, I know that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And by the way, I may as well stop right here, right now. If there's anybody here this morning, as I was saying a moment ago, and you don't have that assurance, if you shouldn't get home from this chapel, and beloved, it is certainly possible. If you should die before night comes, where would you go? Which direction would you go in? Beloved, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Where would you go? If you don't go to heaven, if you don't go to be with the Lord, you're going to hell. You don't need to go to hell. Jesus died to prevent your going to that awful place. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. And the gospel, as I told you last Sunday morning, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Beloved, I believe that gospel 49 years ago, come next February. Praise God. It's been a wonderful 49 years during which, as we sang a little while ago, God has taken care of me in a wonderful way in spite of a lot of bloopers and mistakes and blunders on my part. He has done a wonderful job of taking care of me. So whatever it is, it may be the legitimate cares of this life, dead, Husband, you are thinking about making a living for your family. Mom, you are thinking about taking care of the house. You are thinking about the children and all these other... You should. You should. Paul says, if a man doesn't take care of those of his own household, he's worse than an infidel. But beloved, wait a minute. We can go too far in that direction. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees? Let me just read it to you. We are hasting now to save, to get as much in the time as we have. But you remember in Matthew 23:23, he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes and mint, anise and cumin, and you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to have left the other undone. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ said to these Pharisees, and I use this word apologetically more or less, you should be religious, and you should do these other things. You should do both. You should do both. Being one without being the other is no excuse. You have responsibilities in both directions. And friend, we have responsibilities in both directions, and because we have the responsibility of taking care of our families, because we have the responsibility of seeing to the needs of this life being met, as we are charged with these responsibilities as husband or father or wife or mother, beloved, that's no excuse for not worshiping God, for not loving God, for not serving God, for not being wholly surrendered to the Lord. Let me throw in this verse of scripture before I forget about it, dear friend. I don't want to forget it because it bears just what I'm talking to you about. Jesus said, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Now, that means indulgence, I am told. And drunkenness. Now, we can get drunk on a whole lot of things other than spirit fermenti. And the cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the earth. Take heed, therefore, and beware, lest you are not counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man and escape all these things that shall come to pass. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, listen, you have these legitimate cares of life, but don't let them get you so burdened down that you don't have time for me. And don't let them take as much of your time and as much of your attention as you would give to me. Now let me tell you that the NIV, the New International Version of the Bible, gives us this rendition of Matthew 23:23. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law. These important matters, justice, mercy, faithfulness, you should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. In other words, again I use this word, you should have been religious. You should have been faithful in your giving your tithe and in doing the religious work that you've done, but you should not have forgotten justice and mercy and faithfulness. You shouldn't have forgotten these other responsibilities. You should not have forgotten both responsibilities. Jesus said, you religiously tithe out of, or you religiously tithe, pardon me, but you neglect the works of justice, mercy, and faithfulness. He said you could and you should do both. You could and you should do both. So I say unto you with all the earnestness and sincerity of my heart, dear friends, is that we can and should do both. We can be faithful to our, shall I say, human responsibilities, to our earthly responsibilities, to our responsibilities in this life, and still at the same time be faithful to God. And we can give Him first place in our life instead of letting Him have to, as it were, scramble for just a little corner of our minds or our hearts or just a little bit of faith in our life. You know, we were holding a tent meeting in Goldsboro a number of years ago. Tommy Jr. will never forget that meeting because he discovered Goldie in that meeting. And when he discovered Goldie, I'm telling you, he discovered gold. That gal's wonderful. But I was standing on the street in Goldsboro waiting for Thomas Jr. to meet me. And I noticed a lady inside of it had been a store building, had been remodeled for an office, sitting at a desk, staring at me. So I went to the door, and I opened the door, and I went in with an apology. Pardon me, ma'am. But I'm Thomas. Oh, she says, please forgive me for staring at you. But says, I thought you were Thomas Steele because I saw your picture in the paper. I said, yes, ma'am. I says, we're having a meeting here, as you know, and we certainly would like for you to come out to the meeting. Well, she says, I have to work here, and my husband has to work, and says, it's about 6 or 6:30 time we get home, and we have to fix up, and then we have to wash dishes and clean up, and we just don't have time for things like that. She says, we've got to make a living, you know. I said, no, ma'am, I didn't know that. If I had slapped that lady in the face, she wouldn't have been any more shocked than she was at my words. And then I quoted Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. And I said, lady, if you don't think the Lord was talking about raiment and food, shelter the needs of this name. I said, you go home and you read the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. You'll find out that we don't have to make a living. Almighty God will see to it that we live, that we have the needs of this life. We'll just seek Him first and His kingdom. He'll do it in various and sundry ways, but beloved friend, He'll do it. I got saved in 1937, was on the radio in 1938, continued with my job until 1945, and I could not keep on with both, and I resigned. I want you to know, beloved, since 1945, Steve Young was a pet name, and they never missed a meal. Not a meal! You say, yeah, Tommy, you started preaching and people started dishing out to you. Yeah, thank God. Thank you. Many of you have dished out to me and I want to thank you. And I know God takes care of us through His people. Frank and Jim and I are all, we're thankful. We're grateful to you. We give God the credit. But I want to tell you something, Mr. Businessman. I want to tell you something, Mr. Working Man. I want to tell you something, Mom, Dad. It'll work in your situation the same way it works in our situation. God takes care of us through our job, through our work. God will take care of you through your job and through your work, and you will find that your weekly salary or your monthly paycheck, whichever it may be, will go a whole lot further if you will be very, very certain that God gets His off the top of that paycheck. And then you'll be very certain that God gets His off the top so far as your time is concerned, so far as your interest is concerned, so far as your affections are concerned, so far as your love concerned. Yes, my friends, I meant to say exactly what I said. I won't take a single thing back. Jesus said, unless we hate our father and mother and son, and daughter. And that is to say, unless we love God more than we love the members of our family. Jesus said we couldn't be this. Now that's what it means. I haven't got time to elucidate more explicitly. I'm sure you know that. He didn't mean we had to actually hate our wives, our husbands, our children. But our love for God is to be supreme and is to be so superior to our love for the members of our family, beloved friends, that our love for the family is the thing to be a thing. God said it, I didn't say it. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And you know something, friends? This says to me, when I talk about giving God the top off your paycheck, It says to me that we should give God the top off of our time. We should give God the top, I repeat, so far as our affections are concerned, so far as our loyalty is concerned. And that tells me that there's nothing like giving Him the first thought of the day. I saw God in the morning, when the day was at its best. And His presence came like sunrise, like a glory to my breast. All day long His presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me. And we sailed with perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. Other ships were blowing and battered. Other ships were sore distressed, but the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a perfect rest. So, I think I know the lesson. Learned from many. A troubled way. You must seek it in the morning. If you want it, see the death. My friend, don't start a day without God. Tomorrow will be a work day. Don't start Monday morning. Don't start Monday without seeking God. Don't start Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday without seeking God. Oh, you seek Him on Sunday. You come worship Him on Sunday. You come to hear His word on Sunday. Beloved, He wants a portion of your Sunday, of your Lord's day, and He also wants a portion of your weekday, of your workday. He not only wants a portion of each, but He wants the first part. He wants the first part. Oh, I plead with you, with all the innermost recesses of my heart, to seek God first, and let Him fill your mind with thoughts of Himself. Notice the poet said, all day long His presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me. Why? That means He filled the heart with love for Himself. And He filled the mind with thoughts for Himself. Why? Well, when you begin the day, and to read in Psalm 37 and 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. You see, you turned everything over to the Lord. You turned everything over to Him. And from there on, if it was real committal on your part, the responsibility for the day, the responsibility for the activities of the day, the responsibilities for the productivity of the day, the responsibilities for everything that happened through the day would be His and not yours or not mine. Because we committed the day unto the Lord. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. Beloved, that's the reason my subject is the mind with no vacancy, because here's where it all starts. Oh, we often say, well, he believed with his head, but not with his heart. That happened to me for 16 years, a church member on my way to hell, because I believed with my head, but not with my heart. But listen, on the night of February the 7th, 1937, I believed with my heart. But do you know how it got to my heart? It got to my heart through my mind. That night, somehow or other, the Holy Spirit of God made real to me the words that I had heard somewhere in the past. I don't even remember when, where, but I know I'd heard the gospel many times. That night, He made it real to me, and He got to my heart through my mind. As beloved down on my knees, I poured out my heart to Him. And believe that Jesus died for me. And trusted Him with my mind, as my Savior, and then trusted Him with my heart. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Well, 12 o'clock, and I used to quit on myself at 12 o'clock. And I got some news for you. I'm going to take 5 more minutes this morning. Anybody going to get mad at me? My soul wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from Him. Psalm 65. Are you expecting anything from any other source than from God? Beloved, He'd be the first to acknowledge this. The help that you have given to Brother Franklin Palin has been wonderful. The help you've been to me has been wonderful. The help you've been to Jim has been wonderful. But we know the source of it. He's the source of all things. He gave it to you that you might have it to give to us. And He gives to us a mind that we might think about Him and we might think about others. He gives to us a heart that we might love Him and that we might love others. He gives to us hands and feet and so on that we might use these members of our body for His glory and in His service and in ministering unto others. Because you can't do anything for God and I can't do anything for God except as I do it for other human beings. God is holy and righteous. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's everything. He doesn't need anything I got. But I can do something for Him by doing something for you. You can do something for Him by doing something for me. Brother Tate was reading a while ago. We love one another. We love God. That's the reason we do things. The mind with no vacancy. Your mind so filled with thoughts of other things that God can't get in with a few thoughts of His own. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, or rather 2 Corinthians, that we ought to bring into bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Beloved, you remember the Isaiah 26:3. I'm sure many of you could quote it. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which also was in Christ Jesus. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Beloved, every morning of my life, very few failures, if any. I quote that verse of Scripture at the close of my prayer time and say, Lord, I don't want to live my life today. I don't want to live my life today. I want You to live Your life through me. I want it to be Christ in me, the hope of glory. I want to be able to say, oh, I'd love to be able to say, as I think He said it, as sincerely, as wholeheartedly, as truthful as He said it. Paul said it. What the meaning of this? Beloved, that be so, and my mind won't be filled with other things, even the legitimate cares of this life. My heart won't be filled with love for other people. Not even my wife, and if any husband here loves his wife better than I do, I'd like to talk with you. And let me tell you, I'd like you to tell me how you accomplished it. I don't think I love mine any more than you love yours, but I don't think you love yours any more than I love mine. But remember, God wants His first. If we would just surrender these minds to us, to Him.